It's good to be with you. It's been great to be with your students this weekend. I don't even really know where to begin as far as talking about your pastor. I've hung out with him many, many times back when I was a kid. I want to tell you one story that I know he will be okay with me telling because Alex says he's okay with it. So if not, you can blame Alex. I grew up in Weatherford, Oklahoma. Both my parents were Duncan Demons. We graduated in 1965. Trevlin Duncan, and then there was Bobby and Tommy Duncan. Some of you, I realized real quick, there's a lot of people that know them and know Mildred and Leroy, who he passed away when I was five, and we lived in Houston, so I didn't get to know my grandfather just greatly well. Obviously worked at Halliburton, which I think everybody in Duncan, as far as I knew when I was a kid, worked at Halliburton. We would always go and visit my grandmother in the summer, and I would go spend summers with her, two, 3 weeks with her in the summertime. I loved to go to Halliburton Park, play. I have so many memories playing putt-putt out there. I remember calling time and temperature every 5 minutes because she would say, we can't go until it's 88 degrees outside. So I had your time and temperature at the bank memorized because I could call and get the temperature. And then she would, of course, call after me to see if I was lying as a small child to just get out. So I loved to hear Randy sing as a kid. My parents, we went on the road. We did revivals. We sang in revivals my whole life growing up. We were the Christian Partridge family growing up. And my dad stuck us on stage to sing when we were really, really small. So we sang all over and got to sing in some churches in Duncan as well. My other grandparents from Highland Park, which my grandfather talked to Randy the other day, and we were going to move him into the VA center. He's 95, Bob Martin Sr., Robert Martin Sr. He passed away last night, I found out. and I say that because I get to do his funeral. I've been preparing to do his funeral for quite some time. When I did my dad's funeral last year, when he got stricken with cancer, my mom passed away 10 years before that, stricken with cancer. She died at 61, my dad died at 71, and my grandfather lived to be 95. He'd have been 96 in April. Right before that, our music minister's son passed away. He was 35 due to complications of the flu in Dallas. And he's there this morning with that family, our music minister. And the frailty of life is just huge to me. I preach to people all the time, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And you're not supposed to get too attached to it. And so whenever I got to do my dad's funeral last year at Regency Park and Moore, what a joyous time it was to celebrate my dad's life. We'll get to celebrate my grandpa's life this week and Matt's life, who knew the Lord even at 35 and left a wife and two children. So if you would, pray for the Ross family and even the Martin family. And we have our D now next weekend. So I'm not exactly sure how our life's going to play out in the next week, but it's going to be fun. But Randy, get back to him, I had a wedding that I was doing with my wife that I said, I want one of the most beautiful voices in the world to come sing at my wedding. And I hadn't seen Randy in years. I just need you to know that. When I grew up, Randy would leave and he would go and he would get up. Everybody knows that Randy goes to the piano and I always called Randy Michael Bolton. Randy was Michael Bolton before Michael Bolton was Michael Bolton. He was the Christian Michael Bolton. Now, some of you don't know what that means. Some of you do know what that means. I never knew Randy with hair. He was smooth on top and had these cool locks down the backside. And I just thought he was the coolest. And we hung out a lot of times. He came and did revivals, a couple of revivals, and he would stay at my house. Like I said, we were really close. And he showed up at my wedding. I'd never seen Randy with hair before. And he didn't warn us. Well, he didn't warn me that he was going to show up and have hair all of a sudden. And I'm not going to lie to you, I was a little distracted. Because I just kept going, real? Not real. Real? Not real. You laugh, but you do that when you see one of those, right? You go, I'm not sure. So, listen, I love it, and I'm jealous. I got my dad's curse. So, I just turned 48 years old. I'm super, super blessed. I'm the First Baptist East youth pastor. Been on staff there 18 years. I took a stint in the middle. I was at First Baptist Mustang as youth pastor for 4 years there. And I can tell you this, I have so many ties in this church that you wouldn't even believe. I keep finding out I'm going to show you my family. But before I do that, I just want to talk to you really quickly. I get to do this at my own church. I'll be preaching for our pastor this next month whenever he's gone. It's a blessing to always get to fill the pulpit. Never take that as a light situation. Our pastor will be gone on a mission trip this next month. And whenever I get an opportunity to speak, I try to always speak on the family. I just don't get an opportunity to do that, to be with our parents as much as I would like, just because we have a large student ministry and it takes a lot of my time, energy, and effort. And so the opportunity to be able to talk about the family is something that today I feel like it's a huge blessing. It's not a curse. I think I think if you read the words on the screen right now, that family works. I just really want you to understand that I believe the family still works if it's done the right way. And that's really what I'm going to be talking about today is maybe it's just some improvements that you can make in your own family. And listen, I do this and I can talk about this because I just raised three boys and they all three just got married in the last 4.5 years now. And 3.5 years, they were gone. All of a sudden, we went to be empty nesters. And I truly believe family works. But I'm going to give you a freebie right up front that the family, which I always say with the family, there's three tiers. There is mom, dad, siblings, extended family, grandparents, anyone involved that's kind of raising the child. Okay? And I say that because I know more and more that we have more and more grandparents that are stepping up and having to fill the gap for a lot of kids, aunts and uncles. I live in Lawton. So there's a lot of different challenges with a lot of different areas of the community over there. I love, love, love living around Fort Sill. I chose to move back to Lawton. Very patriotic people, great blue-collar people. Do we have our challenges? Sure we do. But God just, he just pours out his blessing on. I have just the strongest youth team and stuff that we've built over time from godly, dedicated families and individuals that get this, and they can help mold and shape what I'm talking to you about. And then I say from the family, we go to the church. Okay, the church has got to be a huge part. I mean, whenever we talk about a village raising a child, the church must be more, to some extent, paramount than the school that they spend actually way more time in every single day. And I tell people all the time, I said, what you give me is what you're probably going to have a chance to get back. Okay? Because if I'm going to see your kid 1 hour a week, I'm not going to light their life up in 1 hour or one 30-minute talk on a Wednesday night. I'm glad. I mean, we have tons of students that come just on Wednesdays that maybe their church doesn't do anything on Wednesdays and stuff. So we have a lot of a different crowd on Wednesday nights than we do on Sunday mornings. But I'm just going to tell you this. I am who I am because every chance that my parents got, I was in church sitting on a pew or a chair or whatever, learning. You can never, ever learn enough about God to soak up who he is. And if you think you know everything, it's time for you to die. Because our God is infinite. And so we've got the family, we've got the church, and here's the challenge I'm just going to tell you. In 2020, once again, having just finished raising three boys, we teach obedience, discipline, authority structure. And I'm just going to tell you, the sad part of today is I get this all the time. I said, so-and-so will text me and say, I'm not going to be able to be at church tonight because I made some bad grades. I'm not going to be able to be at church tonight because I got in trouble for something. And I look later and I find out that they didn't miss their tournament. They didn't miss whatever else they do, their music program, but they had to miss church. And I'm thinking, you're going to let your kid go hang out with probably the people who he got in trouble with, or she got in trouble with, or that was that influence that was not of God, whenever they're missing a time they could meet with me, where we're talking about obeying your parents, falling under authority, loving God, loving, doing the right thing, being an authority structure. But they go, well, but you know, they'll hurt their team. They hurt their team when they're not here. This is a team. This is a family. I am closer to people in my church than I am my own flesh and blood family right now, because I don't live in the same town as them. Amen? I mean, am I right? I say that because outside influences, extracurricular activities, listen, my kids do it all, they did it all, they're very involved in sports and choir and stuff like that, but we had to constantly prioritize what they were going to be a part of, who they were going to be with. There would be times I would just say, no. You get your kids for 18 years, you get one shot. You need to learn to let the rope out a little bit. But that, by the way, that rope being let out, as long as they were under my roof, I moved back home after going to play football at UCO for 2 years, and I showed back up in my house, and my dad goes, by the way, church is at 9 o'clock, which you will be up for. You will be up. And listen, it was not hard for me because that was who I was. Why? Because that's who molded me and shaped me, and I've always been a part of that. I know where I should be on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights and Sunday nights if whatever something's going on structurally. Because I know that that is whole, what molded me and shaped me to be who I was today. I can't say enough about my Sunday school teachers and my just the people that built into me. They are my village. And Alex has built a great team here. You have no idea. I deal with tons of young youth pastors and the mentorship program and things like that. And I'm not saying this because, I there's people that you bond with because you're like-minded. And Alex is one of those people that I've always kept in relationship. We bounce ideas off of each other. It's just been a great friendship over the years because we have the same heartbeat, and that's to see students know Jesus Christ. This is my family. This is at Christmas. I only have grand dogs, all right? They all have one. They all have just gotten one in the last year or so. And by the way, if you recognize my daughter-in-law in the middle with the little white dog, her mom grew up, Sandy DiFilippo now. She grew up in Duncan at Emmanuel. Once again, just funny how you, crazy. I mean, she lives there. Bailey was an Elgin girl. I have my son Lance on the left. He's 25. I have Logan in the middle. He's 22. Landon is 20, they are, like I said, all grown and married now. The one on the far left lives in Indiana, the one in the middle lives in Waco, and the one on the far right lives in Okmulgee, where he's going to HVAC school there at the OSU Tech. My daughter-in-law is working on her master's at Baylor, and the one on the far left is the one that's in Indiana. She's working to be an eye doctor at Indiana U. So my sons are there working and doing what the family thing, and it's been great to watch them grow up. And you know what? They picked godly wives because they knew what they were looking for, not just a pretty face. So blessed. That's my wife Tina in the back. I outkicked my coverage, right? A lot of you men in here, we outkicked our coverage, you know what I'm saying? I have a great wife, Tina, which we met in high school. We were in the youth group together in Weatherford, Oklahoma, at Emmanuel Baptist Church, where I grew up. I won't go into the dogs. I told enough dog stories this weekend for the youth. So they are just a blessing. Real quickly, let's move through some great information about what comes from God's Word. Making family life easier. Listen, there's no easy family life, but you can make it easier, and it's called following God's way. Let's real quickly go through what that looks like. I know your mom, any moms in here like to give great advice. My mom always gave some great advice. There's some universal great advice, like, you know, always wear clean underwear if you're in a wreck. You definitely want them to, you know, you want them to see that. Eat everything on your plate. There's starving kids all over the world, right? Everybody heard that? Life's not fair. Get over it. If you, by the way, that one right now universally is crazy that kids don't know that today. But the Bible does not say life is fair. There's some kids that I deal with on a daily basis. They just have horrible situations. They're with there all the time. And I have to constantly remind them, God is with you in the midst of your pain and struggle and difficulties. All right? When you get hurt, rub some dirt on it and walk it off. That was kind of what, that was my mom and my dad. All right? They were tough. My mom, I've got some pictures of my mom standing up at games yelling. It's just hilarious. I look back on, I'd be like, Mom, I bloodied the guy. I'm sorry, it was an accident, but sit down. I didn't commit the foul, right? And then this kind of tells you some of your parenting style, right? By the way, don't swallow gum. It'll stay in your stomach for 12 years. How many of you heard that one? What a lie that was. And if you still believe that, I'm so sorry. So probably didn't pay attention in science class. So. But this probably tells you if what kind of parent you are. Like I said, my mom would have said if I got hurt, hey, you know, rub some dirt on it, tape an aspirin to it. That was another one of their famous sayings. But you know, you say, let's kiss it. Let mom come over here and hug me. Well, mom will make it all better. And then, you know, it's like, let's throw a Band-Aid on it, get back out there and play. Or some of the moms like I deal with today, I call them helicopter moms. That they're like, oh, baby, you're going to die. We got to get you to the emergency room right now. You know what? By the way, super glue works way better than stitches. It's a whole lot cheaper. Raising three boys, amen or oh me, right? Super glue is a whole lot cheaper. It's not $400 at a hospital. So I can tell you that because when you raise three boys and they're active, it's just good stuff. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4 says this. Children, obey your parents and Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, for the first commandment with the promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You know, when you listen to those verses, you hear some key words throughout there. You hear the words obedience. You hear the words honor. You hear the words instruction. And I think some of us, if we're not careful, we begin to tune some of those words out because they don't fit our society with which we live in today like they should. Let's face it. I mean, the teenagers today, I love them and I work with them, but man, they do not honor the same way they used to. That has fallen so, so far. And we've kind of given up just based on, I see parents giving up all the time because of frustration and anger and whatever. Can I tell you something, parents? Don't give up. Don't give up. Raising your kids is worth it. It is worth it to do what's right, to be willing to have those hard conversations. Because if you do not, they will not learn to honor you first, and they certainly won't learn to be productive, godly people in this world with which we live. And listen, we never, ever, if we're never careful, then we end up raising what I call a religious outlook, which is moralistic therapeutic deism, which is you raise your kids to be good but not godly. And there's a huge difference. I'm around tons of my kids' friends. They're good kids. But my desire was never to raise three sons that were good. It was to raise three sons that were godly. And that's a difference. And it's different conversations. It's knowing the word, being in the word yourself, so you can teach as life happens. I can't tell you how many conversations that we've had with our kids down the road after practices when things happen and stuff just right, comes out. Kids like to talk, right? Sometimes, some of you are like, I can't get my kid to say anything after practice. Some of that's our relationship with them. You just got to learn to ask the right questions. By the way, if every question you ask your kid is performance-based, unfortunately, that is easy. What did you make on the test? How many points did you score? Blah, blah, blah. That's what we've taught our kids to be. Don't even ask those questions first. I know you're going to ask them. I'm not stupid. I know you're going to ask them. But ask them how they're doing. How was their day? What happened? Ask those open-ended questions to get them talking. Let's talk real quickly about discipline. Number one, I believe discipline is more than spanking. It's instruction. I believed in spanking my children. I'm not going to get into that. Whether you do time out or whatever. I'm going for a master's in counseling, so I get all these really interesting people in class with me that have these different philosophies. I raised three boys, all right? And we had a rule in our house, by the way, they were never to put lay their hands on each other. I had an older brother, which Randy does know, that picked on me, beat me to a bloody pulp over and over again. And so guess what? I'm bigger than him now. That stopped when I was about a sophomore in high school when I started lifting weights. But spanking or discipline is more than just instruction. Number two, discipline is more than correction. It's training. It is truly training. Sometimes I think we just want to correct them and move on. You got to stop sometimes and take the time to train them about what's right versus just what is correction. Number three is discipline is more than punishment. It teaches better choices in the future. If you want them to change, you have to give them the instruction to learn how to change. And by the way, there's no better thing than scripture that literally you just, when they're small and you just place it in their heart and you put it there and you talk about it, they know the importance of it. And they know that you're in it and you're growing in it. And in the very end, it starts to change who they are. Because they know it didn't come from wisdom from Tim Martin. It came from wisdom from God above, the one who created them and love them. This one's more than behavior modification. It is heart, truly heart transformation. Because I know there are so many kids out there, and you know this as well as I do, they know what's right, right? But they haven't made the transfer to hear because it's only in their head. I always tell students all the time, you know enough right now to just be dangerous with the Word of God. They know how to give the Sunday school answers. We call it Connection Hour at First Baptist East. We had to change the name because no one wants to come to school. Right? Okay, I'm sorry. Just a little side note. I want to show you this because I love this. How many of you have seen the movie that's what, like, Inside Out? Any of you ever seen that movie? All the kids. Yeah. Parents are like, no. Did not see that movie. My kids have seen it. The whole movie is just all about these emojis. It's kind of a funny. It's emojis that represent different feelings and emotions that these people are going through. And the same characters look the same for everybody. But they're going to go back and forth real quickly. But I want you to watch this. But I think really quickly, this is many of our homes that we live in, if we're not careful. Fathers, pay close attention.
So, as it turns out, the green trash can is not recycling. It's for greens, like compost and eggshells. Mm. And the blue one is recycling. And the black one
is... Riley is acting so weird. Why is she acting so weird?
What do you expect? All the islands are down.
Joy would know what to do.
That's it. Until she gets back, we just do what Joy would do.
Great idea. Anger, fear, disgust. How are we supposed to be happy?
Hey, Riley, I've got good news. I found a junior hockey league right here in San Francisco, and get this, tryouts are tomorrow after school. What luck, right?
Hockey?
Uh-oh, what do we do?
Guys, here, you pretend to be Joy.
Wouldn't it be great to be back out on the ice?
Oh yeah, that sounds fantastic.
What was that? That wasn't anything like Joy!
Because I'm not Joy?
Yeah, no kidding.
Did you guys pick up on that?
Sure did.
Something's wrong.
Should we ask her?
Let's probe, but keep it subtle so she doesn't notice.
So, how was the first day of school?
She's probing us.
I'm done. You pretend to be Joy.
What? Okay.
It was fine, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, very smooth. That was just like Joy.
Something is definitely going on.
She's never acted like this before. What should we do? We're gonna find out what's happening, but we'll need support. Signal the husband.
Ahem.
With a nice pass over the reeds, comes across that line.
Ahem. Uh-oh, she's looking at us. What did she say?
What? Sorry, sir. No one was listening.
Is it garbage night? We left the toilet seat up. What? What is it, woman? What?
He's making that stupid face again.
I could strangle him right now!
Signal him again.
Ah, so, Riley, how was school?
Seriously?
Are you kidding me?
For this, we gave up that Brazilian helicopter pilot?
Boo! I'll be Jewel.
School was great, all right?
Riley, is everything okay?
Sir, she just rolled her eyes at us.
What is her deal? All right, make a show of force. I don't want to have to put the foot down.
No, not the foot.
Riley, I do not like this new attitude.
Oh, I'll show you attitude, okay?
No. Stay happy!
What is your problem? Just leave me alone.
Sir, reporting high levels of sass.
Take it to DEFCON 2.
You heard that, gentlemen. DEFCON 2.
Listen, young lady, I don't know where this disrespectful attitude came from.
You want a piece of this, Pops? Come and get it!
Yeah, well, look.
Here it comes. Prepare the foot.
Keys to safety position. Ready to launch on your command, sir.
Just shut up!
Fire!
That's it. Go to your room. Now.
Foot is down. The foot is down. Yeah.
Good job, gentlemen. That could have been a disaster.
Well, that was a disaster.
Come, fly with me, Gachinha.
Okay, if you didn't get that, that was the Brazilian pilot she didn't marry. So, I say that, listen, the reason I show that is because, you know, there was about 2 or 3 years ago that I had a small group of guys I was meeting with, and we'd get together once a week, and almost every single one of them were about 10 years younger than I was. Didn't plan it that way, just kind of the way it worked out. All of them had children. Did you know every single one of them had the same struggle? I don't know when I'm disciplined how to handle my anger. I'm a struggle. I don't know what to say. You do know what to say if you're in the Word and you're growing and you're learning and you have the patience, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the fruits of the Spirit that God puts inside of us. Listen to me. You are equipped. You can do it. You just got to be able to be ready for those moments when they come and not be checked out. Anybody been present without being present? When you started watching the hockey game, when I was a young parent, I know I watched way too much ESPN. All right, you know what I'm saying? I just say this, that as we begin to look at who and what we need to be, we need to just grasp on to some great verses in Scripture. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Don't anger them just to anger them, and then give them no reason why you're angry with them. I see parents that don't get along with their kids. They're just not talking. They're not having these conversations. When they know you are there for you and you're not against them, yes. Are they going to struggle with that? Yes. They're going to wrestle with that when you're having those hard conversations. But don't give up. And moms, by the way, I have told you 1,000 times, that's the same thing. That's called nagging. And that's not going to get you anywhere. The funny thing is we always said, I'm not going to be my parents. And then we say the same things our parents said to us. Did they work on us? No. When we get frustrated, we say things, we do things. But let me tell you something. The one thing I learned from being around godly. I have a pastor who's a mentor to me, no question. He just celebrated 40 years at First Baptist East. He came when he was 30. He's 70. He doesn't look 70. He looks about 60. Doug Passmore, some of you may know Doug. I'm telling you what a blessing he has been in my life to watch him teach on the family. And what he always said was, having that relationship takes time. And listen to me, don't wait till they're older to begin to have that relationship, because if you do, when the relationship, you try to build it, it's just not going to be there. So, and by the way, dating your wife still, things like that, man, your kids see that. Your kids see that. So, godly discipline in our lives. Let's talk through some of those really quickly. What does this look like? Because if we're truly going to have transformation, but how many of you in here love the word discipline? We like it if we're the ones disciplining, right? We want discipline. But whenever your boss has to discipline you, how many of you are like, yeah, I'm lining up for that, right? Well, it's no different. You got to remember to put yourself back in their shoes, okay? There's going to be some uncomfortable anxiety and struggles and all of that. For them to have truly heart transformation, it's all about that relationship. I love Hebrews 12, 5 through 11 says, and have you forgotten the exhortation, the addresses as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastens every son whom he receives. Keep going. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom the father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which you have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have earthly fathers who discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? And ending right here, for they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for good, that we may share his holiness. For the moments all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, fruits of the Spirit, of righteousness. What is righteousness, that big churchy word? Rightness in God to those who have been trained by it. Anybody in here ever have a teacher that was hard on you and you hated it, but yet you had that coach, did I say that out loud? I'm so sorry. You had that teacher who let you slide by. I didn't mean to say coach, because I did have good coaches, teachers too. Just some of them were more important. Sports part of it. I had one teacher I couldn't stand. My junior and senior English teacher, I could not stand them. Why? Because they made me work. That algebra teacher who gave me a bad grade the first semester, when you have a dad who's like super, super, super senior, super, super smart, National Merit Scholar from Duncan High School, got a 34 or 35 on his ACT. By the way, my fruit fell a little farther off that tree. Can I tell you something? I can appreciate those teachers today. It's amazing how whenever your kids become 25, you become a lot smarter. Amen or oh me. Some of you have 25-year-old kids. Some of them are sitting here and they don't get it yet. They don't understand it yet. Because you love them, you discipline them. Why? Because God disciplines us. He allows us to go through things, struggles, changes in life, to change who we are and what we're about. So God's challenge for us, real quickly. I think it's hard nowadays, because I think of all the groups that we allow to discipline our children instead of us. School. My wife's a school teacher. You better have your stuff paid up just in case a lawsuit's coming your way, because nowadays that's what it's come to. Godly discipline for the next generation doesn't come by hoping the Girl Scouts or the Boy Scouts are going to make my kid a good kid. Those sports teams, I love what I learned discipline-wise from playing all those sports, and to be tough, to get up whenever I'm down. And those great lessons to be learned there. But there's also lessons to be learned that only parents, maybe surrogate grandparents, maybe some of you in here, uncles, aunts that have stepped in the gap. You fill in the blank where it fits your family, but those principles must be taught. Parents are the means through which God disciplines children. It's not the school. It's not the Boy Scouts. Number two, godly discipline is a fight for the hearts of the next generation. I truly believe in the next generation. I do. My sons are in that generation, and I want to see them and their godly kids. I ask my kids every single week in youth ministry this question right now as we try to own our faith is this: how many of you want your grandkids to know who Jesus Christ is? And it happens. I did it to your kids. Almost every single one of them raised their hand. I want my grandkids to know who Jesus Christ is. And I said, if that's the truth and that is the case, then you'll live different. You'll be different. Why? Because you've been taught that the next generation is going to matter, and I matter. I know the Lord because my grandparents know the Lord, and my dad knew the Lord, and my mom knew the Lord, and they passed that down to me. And some of them don't have that. Can I tell them this morning? I said, that is you now. That is you coming to know the Lord. You're the first generation of believers. But listen, if they don't do their job, every family is one generation from being lost. Behind every behavioral sin is a self-centered desire that needs to be replaced by a desire for Jesus Christ. Sin and self always go together. And we've got to challenge them and teach them that when they get in those cars and you're having those hard conversations, there is a God. He loves you and he's for you, not against you. And though you've had a bad day, he wants you to shine and have hope for tomorrow. We need to replace some of those bad habits with good habits and talk to them about what Scripture says in those areas where they fail. Discipline with respect teaches children how they should respect others later in life. Amen? I mean, I don't think I can say that any different. We have a lack of respect because kids don't respect their parents right now. So why would they respect their teachers or anyone else around them? Godly discipline is an act of love. A parent who tells me they won't discipline their child, they don't really love them like they need to. I just can't. It's not in me. I can't be mean. Trust me, you're going to be really, really upset probably next week because you're going to have to deal with stuff that you don't want to deal with because you won't be a little angry at times. And when, let's make sure that we understand what that is. It's a righteous anger. That's, I don't like this because, man, it goes against what God would have my child to do. The same as we should be broken over our own sin. But we get 18 years with them. I say that every time. Get 18 years with them. What are we doing with the 18 years we have? I could talk till I'm blue in the face. Here's what it comes down to. I told this to Randy just the other night. I said, my heartbeat is for this, for us to understand. Listen, I don't care the age of your congregation. Okay? I go see young generation, middle, older, preach and teach and talk to a lot of different ones. Here's the thing. Until the moms and dads, caregivers, step up and be who they need to be in the Lord and not push that off on other people any longer and set their priorities that God is a priority in their life and understand that the church is for you, not against you. And that whenever they mess up, maybe False Creek isn't the best thing to skip because it's a life, it's a week of studying God's word, building relationships with people. Hopefully they should be wanting to, you should want them to build relationships with. And they could take their friends to that kind of environment, maybe that won't come here yet, and they can come and know Jesus Christ. Because they've already laid a foundation, because their life looks different to their friends, because you are leading them that direction. But some of you say in here, well, this doesn't even apply to me, because I don't have, a lot of you in here have grandkids. A lot of you in here don't even realize that you're surrogate grandparents to a whole lot of these kids. They look up to you, because they don't have good grandparents. A lot of you in here, you support them to the hilt. I know you've got amazing facilities here that God has blessed you with, and you've done a great job with that. But let me explain something to you. Scripture's really clear. Until old men dream dreams. Till old men dream dreams. I love talking scripture with my grandfather. My gosh, it just humbles me. My father, I know they dream dreams for me and for my kids. And even though they're not here, they prayed for us. They're on their knees. Every Sunday morning, we have a prayer time. I'm on my knees on that altar praying for my kids that morning because I know that wherever they're at, they need to be in church. In Waco and in Indiana, another side of the state. Not because it's a habit or a duty. It's because there's no better place I'd rather be. Because that's where God's people are, and that's who I am. I said this to the students today, and I'm going to end with this. I say this all the time. And of course, when I'm in front of a big group, I could say it wrong, because a Christian is not what you do. It's who you are. But who you are should dictate what you do. You all are amazing. You do not even know the outreach you have in this community. I know many of you through my grandmother. The question is, are we okay with just being status quo and meeting here? Are we going to leave here on mission in our homes, in our workplaces, and everywhere we go? And that starts right here, by the way. You learn it here and you do it here. It's been great to be with you. This altar is going to be open in this invitation. And I know I need to be a better dad. Maybe there's something to lay before God this morning. And I'm going to turn it over to Randy, but you may have been great listeners. But the Bible says be a doer of the word, not just a hearer of the word. Let me pray. God, thank you.